is a ball game.
Welcome to the State of the Gamecocks podcast. Here are your hosts, Brooks and Drew.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the State of the Gamecocks podcast. My name is Brooks Davis, joined alongside by my co-host, Drew Bonds. And Drew, happy birthday.
Oh, well, thank you. 1 year closer to death, so that's great. Other than that, doing good. Brooks, how you doing?
Doing good. Yeah, just still counting down the days. And media day, we're going to try and give you as much information about it as we can. But yeah, media day was this past Tuesday. There were some good stuff I thought that came out of it. Nothing controversial or nothing that, you know, just really, really stood out to us. But yeah, we're going to do a deep dive into it tonight. So, yeah, not a whole lot of news. Nothing huge. I do know fall camp. Fall camp does start next week. I think Kelly said it starts next Tuesday. So in my eyes, that is as close as the official start, to football season as we can get, without actually, you know, going out to Birds of Snow and playing somebody else and we're full go then. But yeah, as it gets closer and get more and more excited.
Yeah, absolutely. And then Colin, one thing you said, we're going to give you as much media day information as we can. I mean, you guys are familiar with what media days are. There's not a whole lot to decipher on either side. I do want to start with, you know, Coach Kelly did a great job of representing the university and the program. I think we both thought that he did a really, really nice job of kind of representing what Jack State football is about. We all obviously know what he's done recruiting so far. So, you know, it's 2 for 2 for Coach Kelly. Great media day. But, you know, kind of like we said on Twitter, we didn't learn much. We didn't expect to learn anything. I feel like we never learn a lot from media day, especially with a new coach and an entirely new team. They're trying to keep things to themselves as much as they can. But, yeah, to this point, didn't learn much new information. We'll kind of get into a couple of things that we talked about to start with. Coach Kelly was asked kind of what the offense will look like and kind of reiterated what we've already knew, is that we'll see a multiple look. So a lot of different formations, should be much more balanced run pass attack, which we kind of knew that from the spring game and from Clint Trickett's background and that kind of thing with the offense. So didn't learn a ton there. Besides he did say, you know, you have to be multiple. At least that's his philosophy, especially with how much the rules favor the offense, in this day and age of college football. So, didn't seem like there was much of an itch to stay in Rich Rod's 90% run system, which I don't think they have the personnel to do that as effectively anyway. And I do think that being more balanced in a multiple look is going to work out better in the long run. It makes it easier to recruit athletes. I mean, I'm sure under Rich Rod's system, it's hard for JSU to recruit, you know, big name wide receivers to that system. So, the multiple look is what we're going to see. We knew that already. But that was one of the things he did answer, and that we got from his press conference. Brooks, thoughts on the offense? I know we didn't really learn anything from it, but do you have anything to add? And to add there for now.
Yeah, like you said, it was a lot of, you know, when he talked about that, you know, we already knew it was going to be a little bit of everything. We saw that in the J-Day game. We saw a lot of options, a lot of design quarterback runs. Short, deep balls, short passes, different defensive looks, but offense. Yeah, we knew it's going to be a little bit of everything. I've been telling people that it reminds me of kind of the Rich Rod offense. It's not as up tempo, but I do think it's going to be more balanced. And we're going to have a slew of talent, I think, to spread the ball out to, both running the ball and throwing it, and to, you know, whoever does end up being the quarterback, I think is going to be, and that was the other thing too. He mentioned that Gavin Wimsatt is still in the driver's seat to be the starter against UCF at least. And personally, I've been hearing a lot of good things about Gavin Wimsatt. I've been hearing that they're really, really impressed with him. You know, maybe that's part of the reason why we didn't see him in the J-Day game. You know, they didn't want to put any tape out on him. But from what I have gathered per my sources, they are really, really impressed with Gavin Wimsatt. Now, that's not to say that, you know, we could give Gavin the first, you know, couple series, and then maybe throw Cade Cunningham in there, see what he can do, because he is very talented. You know, to me, he was the standout between him and Caden Creel in the J-Day game. So there is a lot of unknowns, but I'm excited about this offense. Like I said, it reminds me a lot of the Rich Rod, a lot of options, you know, there'll be some drives where we are just ground and pound. You know, maybe we'll throw to the running backs a little bit more than what we saw last year, because you know, Trey Stewart wasn't, you know, a big target. He was obviously more, you know, handing the ball off and letting him tear one than he was, you know, throwing halfback screens or, you know, little tunnel screens or what be it. I think we may see that a little bit more this year. But it's certainly going to be an exciting offense.
Yeah, more balances are going to be depending on what the quarterback looks like. And again, I know Wimsatt has the lead for that job now, and it seems like he's going to keep that. I know, Burke said, guys on the program really, really like him. I know his leadership qualities are very high. I'm not all the way sold 100% just yet. It's still very early, you know, relatively speaking. I know we're basically a month and 4 days away from going to Orlando and playing UCF, but practice doesn't start, you know, camp doesn't start till Tuesday. So there are times for things to move around, but it does seem like Wimsatt's going to be the guy. We know he can run the ball. Just kind of see what we get from him as far as throwing goes, and I think that's going to kind of relegate what we see from the offense. If Wimsatt is really successful in throwing it, we're going to see much more of a split. If he's running it better and not throwing it as well, we're going to see a lot more run. At least that'd be my inclination for right now. But if you look at the team as a whole, right, you've got, you know, Petway and Rex Steiner returning at receiver. You know, we got Caleb Coombs, DJ Vincent's a true freshman that could see the field if he doesn't redshirt. You know, running back, you've got Cam Cook and Andrew Paul and Andre Devine and the Savage brother. I mean, the running back list is extremely, extremely long. You know, the offensive line, you've got the best offensive line coach in football. And look at the defense, and you saw what they did in the spring game, especially the front seven with Oybedejo and Curtis Perry and Jacob Cruz and those guys. And then all the transfers in the back end of that defense at corner and safety. And you kind of come to the conclusion that you feel, at least I feel, really good about every position group that we have. And the weird part is, if I was to pick out a position group I don't feel great about, at this point it's still quarterback, just because that is such a question mark for this team's going to be. And I know Clint Trickett working with the quarterback room is a big help. But I think, you know, you've got Charles Kelly, who's a huge defensive guy, head coach. With all the transfers in, he can kind of build that defense the way that he wants to. I think you feel good about receiver. You feel really good about running back. And I think if you have Coach Rick Trickett, you always feel good about offensive line. So you're kind of left there with what does a quarterback look like? And the program seems really happy with Wimsatt, like Brooks said, which I think is a really, really good sign. It's just we haven't seen much from him besides, you know, a few games here and there at Kentucky and the same thing there with Rutgers. So question mark at quarterback, feel really good about everything else. I don't mean to sound like I feel bad at quarterback. Like, you know, I feel like Wimsatt can certainly go win, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12 games for this team under the right circumstances and the right leadership. I could feel kind of the same way maybe with Cade Cunningham or Caden Creel. You know, maybe Jack Moran shows up and starts as a true freshman, which is very unlikely, but, you know, weirder things have happened. So I don't feel bad about quarterback. I'm just not as sold on where the position is going to be for the year, kind of like I am with the other position groups. You know, Rip is going to kick field goals. You've got Cade Backey and Nate Hillenberg, the transfer from Cornell, going to battle for punting. So the starter for the punter spot, which hopefully we don't even see him very much, whoever that's going to be. I think that's the goal always. But yeah, feel really good about where the team is now. One thing Coach Kelly did say in at Media Day there in Frisco, the first day he got in the office, I think he said it might have even been a Thursday, but he said he got into office, and the first thing he kind of saw was all the transfers and the state the roster was in. They had less than 40 or 30 scholarship players left, and he talked about what a good job his staff has done. They've brought in 51 names between his first day and now to help fill out that roster and get it back to where it's supposed to be. And I think especially if you look at defensively, they've done a really, really good job. And I see no reason to think this is not going to be the best defense in conference, maybe even the best defense in the group of five or one of the best defenses in the group of five. So that was one takeaway from Media Day was Coach Kelly did say that was his first day at JSU, got into his office the first time, looked at the roster and kind of opened his eyes, it seemed like, as to exactly how much work needed to be done. And Coach Kelly and Coach Williams and Coach Clint Trickett have done a really, really good job. And you know, Rohan Gaines and those guys do the same thing, too. I don't mean to not mention them. But Coach Kelly and his staff have done a exemplary A-plus job at filling out the roster, like we said, especially defensively. Obviously, offensively, there's been a lot of key pickups there as well, like Cam Cook or DeAndre Johnson at wide receiver. The battle for playing time is going to be a fierce one in camp, I feel like. No one's job is safe. I think that's true every week or every day, that no one's job is safe, no matter where you are at this level of football. So not a reason to think that we're not going to see the best version of Jack State this year. We talked kind of about last episode, that UCF game. This is not an 11-game schedule, but if the first half of the Central Florida game doesn't really go the way that we want it to, it may turn into a glorified scrimmage for JSU trying to, get some new guys in, finding new pieces, seeing what you can figure out, because you don't have the 4 or 3 game out of conference schedule to start with before you start conference play. You get Liberty week 2, and you got to be right for that one, because that's probably the biggest game on the schedule week 2. We get Western at the end of the year again, so those two for sure. And kind of see where Sam Houston is under Phil Longo. Also, didn't mention in the preview, meant to and forgot, but Sam Houston playing all of their home games in Houston. It's like 90 or 70 miles from campus. They're doing renovations at the field there on campus, which they seem to desperately need. But so interesting to see what the home atmosphere looks like for the Bearcats. I would imagine there'll be
in the Texan Stadium.
No, I forget the name before they're going to play, but it was somewhere in Houston. But it was a long, long, long way from campus. So, interesting to see what the home field advantage is like for Sam Houston. New coach, weird stadium, long way from home. Interesting year there for the Bearcats. Which also 90 miles away or 70 miles away, whatever it is. Like, I'm aware that the optics of playing in a Texas high school stadium, probably not the best, but you can't tell me there wasn't a stadium that would work closer than where they picked out. Brooks, if you can look it up for us, figure out where it is, but I don't
know. Energy Stadium. I think this is where the Houston Dynamo play, the MLS team.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, so.
10,000, I think, is where it says. I can't find it. But yeah, I'm 95% sure that's who plays there.
Yeah, I actually kind of remember now where the Dynamo plays. So just weird to me. And again, like I said, the optics of maybe going to a high school stadium for a year doesn't look good. But making your fans travel an hour plus to get to a home game is it's a little bit interesting, especially Sam Houston. I mean, there'll be weekday games. Like, we hear it from the Jack State side of it. The out-of-towners don't like the Tuesday night, Thursday night swing at home. And there's only one of those this year, but at least as far as the home games go, we play a couple on the road midweek. But, that's basically every game now for Sam Houston becomes an out-of-town game for the fans and that kind of thing. I wonder if maybe the team will stay closer to the stadium and practice there for the week on home games. That'll be kind of interesting to see. But I thought that was learned that you know before media day and didn't mention it last episode. Wanted to talk about that for a minute. Did think that was kind of an interesting decision. And maybe they didn't have a choice. You know, I mean, the high school teams there have to play football also. And maybe they just didn't have the personnel or the schedule didn't work out to use one of their stadiums on Saturday, and they had to go find a stadium that was open. I don't know when the MLS season is, to be completely honest to everybody, but I'm assuming that it's probably empty and vacant for the football season. That may be part of the reason.
I think it runs through the fall, but it ends before football season ends, and I don't know. Okay. I don't know how well the Houston Dynamo are doing, but if I had to guess, they'll do something like probably a practice on campus Monday through Thursday, then adjust. I'm sure have everyone's class schedules adjusted, and then go over like on Friday and do walkthroughs and everything at the Dynamo Stadium.
That's likely for them to do, but. Not ideal situation there for the Bearcats being that far from campus for their home games for the year. All right. Other than that, media day, of course, Michael Petway and Daryl Prater were there, at least for the kickoff show portion, and then Kelly was by himself for the press conference. But Michael Petway did talk about how much he's appreciated and learned from Coach Clint Trickett since he's been in the building. Which was good to see. You can kind of, if you haven't seen the 10-12 minute interview, you can go watch it on ESPN Plus, and then the press conference for Coach Kelly's on YouTube. You can find it. It's about the same amount of time, 10 or 12 minutes. But good to hear Coach Kelly, or excuse me, good to hear Michael Petway say some good things about Clint Trickett. Of course, he's got tons of experience for you know being a relatively young coach in college football. So happy to see that the players seemed to like him a lot. Daryl Prater didn't speak a whole lot kind of in terms of you know news or things to talk about. He talked about more of play style and what it's like in the trenches there, the defensive line. So again, interview for those two guys is on ESPN Plus there. So for those that haven't heard it can go give that a listen and get kind of caught up there. But as far as media day goes, like we said at the very beginning, not a ton to talk about. We got a little bit of quarterback news, which we already knew that information, so I don't know if you can even call it news. You know, we got the multiple look on the offense from Coach Kelly, which again, not really news. We kind of knew that already. Coach Kelly did reinforce the throw the ball to win and run the ball to. Let me get this straight one more time. Everybody, please hold. Throw the ball to score and run the ball to win line, which I really like. I think that's kind of what you'll see. The philosophy be, you know, throw it early, score points, and then, you know, wear the defense out running the football. Beyond that, Brooks, any media day? Tom, I know this is really short, but there just wasn't much given to us for us to talk a whole lot about. Brooks, if you have any media day thoughts to end with, we do have a really, really exciting episode next week that we'll talk about on Twitter before we record. We've used the term an A-list guest before with Josh Farge and Tyler Huff and Jack Moran. We'll have a guest that is quite honestly one tier above that, and that is, you know, not a stab at the three guys we've had before, but I think you guys are really going to like what next week's episode will look like. But again, Brooks, if you have any media day thoughts, end with those, and then we will see you guys here in about a week with a longer episode with a little more sustenance for you.
Yeah, like you said, just not a ton came out of media day that we didn't really already know. I do want to touch on going back to Wimsatt for a second. You know, I think the situation with him is going to be what he does with his arm. He's a very reliable runner. And you know, the few snaps that he took at Kentucky, 49 carries for 183 yards and 2 touchdowns. But throwing the ball. Pretty much, all but one season, his entire career, he's thrown more interceptions than he has touchdowns. Now, I know, you know, right off the bat, you know, that's kind of a scary thought. You know, with him, you know, more than likely being our starter, at least for the start of the season. But I think what you got to look at with that too is he spent the last 3 years, or he spent 3 years at Rutgers and then last year at Kentucky. And Kentucky was hot dog water last year, and Rutgers hadn't been much better. They've improved under Greg Schiano, but it hadn't been just leaps and bounds better overall, in my opinion. But I think with his situation here, I think he's going to be a little bit more set up for success in terms of the talent that's around him, you know, as it relates to the competition, the defenses and the competition that we're playing. He's got, you know, like I said, he's going to have a slew of running backs to hand the ball off to, and, you know, throw out of the backfield here and a little here and there too, in Cam Cook and AJ Paul and Justin Savage, Andre Devine, all those guys. But I think, you know, the receivers overall are going to be, I don't necessarily say more talented, but like I said, you know, compared to you know, the defense that he was playing and what he playing at Kentucky and in the SEC and the Big Ten, and then, you know, trying to think how to word it, they're just, I think they're going to be better suited for him. I think they're going to give him better opportunities to make plays down the stretch with, you know, with Michael Pettway and DeAndre Johnson and Caleb Coons, Rex Steiner, all those guys. I think he's going to have a better time getting the ball downfield, and those receivers are going to give him better looks, going to get open, you know, a little bit better than, you know, the receivers that he was having to work with at Kentucky and Rutgers. So like I said, with him, you know, per my sources, everyone on staff is really excited about him. So far he's looked really, really good. Hopefully we'll find out a little bit more about him and, you know, just the quarterback room in general. Once fall camp starts next week, I'm hoping that Coach Kelly should do some Monday press conferences. And then the university usually puts out some YouTube interviews with the head coach after each practice. So, and, you know, kind of figuring out what they learned about the team from that day. So hopefully they'll keep up that trend, and, you know, we can watch those and learn a little bit more as fall camp goes on. But you know, and the other thing too that really stood out to me, and you talked about it, Drew, was, you know, when or from media day, was, you know, Kelly mentioned that when he got here and only had, I think he said, 29 players on scholarship, including one quarterback and Caden Creel in one corner. I can't remember who he said it was, but, you know, it's a testament to the job that he's done already, you know, coming in and getting guys like DeAndre Johnson and Curtis Perry and Cam Cook out of the transfer portal, all guys that are expected to play or expected to have significant roles on the team. But I'm excited. Like I said, once fall camp starts, that's the unofficial start to the college football season. In my eyes, that's when, you know, this, everything is starting to get real, and we're getting closer and closer. You know, we can smell it. It's right around the corner.
Yeah.
So we'll just, you know, it's kind of a waiting and seeing game right now.
Yeah. One thing I'll say about UCF before we leave, get to the fourth quarter of that game and make it a one-possession game in the fourth quarter, because that coach UCF's got is the worst of all time at winning one-possession games. And you can prove that with statistics and numbers. Ask any Cornhuskers fan over the last 4 or 5 years if they think about it. So get to the fourth quarter in Orlando, whoever's playing, whatever position you want to think about, right? Obviously, there's a lot of camp left. But, yeah, get to the fourth quarter against UCF in a tie game or one possession game and see where you finish out. That seems to be the formula to beat Scott Frost, is just keep it close to the end and let his teams hand you the win in the fourth quarter. So, obviously, different situation in UCF with him. He's had a lot of success there before, but those one possession games for him have been cruel in the last 4 or 5 years. So keep it tight to the fourth quarter, which I think the rosters should be more than good enough to do that. It's just how they'll be meshed together week one. And UCF's got a lot of turnover too, of course, with a new coach. So I like our chance in that game pretty much as any other game throughout the year. For the most part, I know that's our Power Four game. So, you know, there's a little bit more of a perceived skill gap in both teams. I think that it's not like what we saw against Louisville last year. Louisville was a pretty good football team. And obviously JSU was not ready to compete week two against Louisville. We saw that and how they played the rest of the year. So, if you're ready to compete week one like they should be, I see no reason to not think you're going to go to Orlando and compete for a victory. But yeah, like we alluded to, that first half, you know, unfortunately doesn't go the way we want it to. You will see, likely see some changes there in the second half to get ready for Liberty. But that's a long way from now. I know we've said that like four or five different times between this episode and last episode. It's just that's the next game on the schedule, so that's what we want to talk about. But again, fun episode next week. Like we said before, you learn more about that later on. And then after next week, you know, we'll be less than 1 month away till football starts. We can really dive into UCF there about a week before that game starts. We'll have a lot more news as far as, you know, news out of camp and that kind of thing to talk about. And it'll get really real, real fast. So, again, if you're with us still, thanks for sticking around with us. Go find us on Twitter. We get a lot of really, really, really good interact with you guys over there. And we'll see you guys here in about a week with a really fun episode.
Real quick, too, before we go. So next week, you mentioned our interview, our super awesome next interview. Next week, too, we will also be making our first ever guest appearance on another podcast. We're going to talk to Mark Huseman of the After Dark Sports Network. For those of you familiar with SEC After Dark, he's starting his own new show. Or has started a new show called Offseason After Dark, and he's going through conference by conference and talking to different people like us cover each individual team from conference. But yeah, we're going to talk to him. We'll record next Tuesday. I will assume the episode will be out on either Wednesday or Thursday. And it'll be on his YouTube channel too. Offseason AD, I think is the official name of it. But yeah, really excited about that. Be on the lookout for that. Yeah. Other than that, we'll talk to you guys next week with a really great interview. See y'all.